Evening, welcome to Amud Shavui. This is Brachos Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Learning we do tonight will be Lezecher Nishmas
Yoshua
Ben Yitzchak Shama Shavin Aliyah. Okay, as Dr. Goldenberg just clarified and went through the entire Amud, so we know that in terms of making bracha on flowers, so it's Machlokes Amarayim. Just going to quickly recap the Gemara, as Dr. Goldenberg already said. Kimcha Dechiti. So the Gemara talks about where you have flour coming from wheat. So Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Priya Adam, Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Priya Adam, Rav Nachman Amar Shakol Nibed Varas. So the Machlokes Amarayim, exactly what the correct bracha should be on it. And so Amalei Rav LeRav Nachman Lo Tiplo Galad Rav Yehuda. So don't argue with Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yochanan Shmuel Kamikavasei, because great Amarayim hold like him. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel V'chein Amar Rav Yisak Amar Rav Yochanan Shemin Zayis Mevarchin La Bar Priya Ha'etz. So we know, as we learned already on the previous Amud. So when you're drinking olive oil, the Gemara gave an ukimta of exactly why a person would be drinking olive oil. As Gemara pointed out in the previous Amud, it'd be drinking olive oil by itself would be harmful. But in the event that you can figure out a way, the Gemara does, figure out a way to drink olive oil, so the correct bracha is bar praise. What do you see from that? Alma, Ava Gavdi Shani B'mil Sakai. So you see that even though it went through a change, it went through a transformation, it's no longer an olive, but now it's been changed and transitioned into a juice. Nevertheless, it's bar praise. So Anami, Ava Gavdi Shani B'mil Sakai. Okay, so you took the wheat grain and you converted it into flour, but it should be the same thing. It should still be a bori pri ha'adama. Okay, in other words, the starting bracha is bori pri ha'adama, so just because we now have shaped it down into flour, it should still be a bori pri ha'adama. So the Gemara says, it's not really comparable. Hasam leislei iluya achrina hacha islei iluya achrina bepas. So the Gemara says it's not comparable. Why? So translating the words of the Gemara, and obviously I underline this part because this is going to be basically the crux of everything we're going to be discussing this evening. So the Gemara says there's a fundamental difference because when it comes to olive oil, leislei iluya achrina, you can't get any better. I mean, you've maxed out. You have, I say this with pun intended, you've tapped out. Meaning that's it. Now it's olive oil, and it's the best thing it could possibly be. And so therefore, it started as bar priyates, it remains bar priyates. However, but over here, when it comes to the wheat, islei iluya achrina bepas. So you see, when you take the wheat kernel, so the wheat kernel is bar priya adama. And the Gemara is going to discuss it later in the perek in terms of circumstances where you're making a bar priya adama on the kernel. But here now, as you have reduced it down to flour, so it's no longer the kernel. So, and what about the fact that by the olive, which you reduced to olive oil, the bracha maintains, but over here the Gemara says no. Because over here at this point now, we're in process. And we have a lot of way to go. In other words, it's going to get to bread. So it's no longer at the point where it was a wheat kernel. And bread is coming up. So right now it's in limbo. It's nowhere. And so therefore the bracha should not be a bar priya adama, but rather should be a shahakol. Okay. What I want to discuss over the course of this evening is a very simple question, but it's really fundamental. The Gemara is obviously making a distinction between bar priya gafen and taking wheat and reducing it down to flour. First and foremost, I'll just share with you the comments of Tosfos right here on the daf. I quote it here on the source sheet. And that is eating flour. Like, what are we talking about? Like, just for a moment, let's pause and think about like going into the pantry, taking out flour. Oh, it looks really good. Okay, I'll probably eat it by the spoon, right? Right. It sounds absurd, and Tosfos says, yeah, it sounds absolutely absurd. So Tosfos writes kimcha dechiti. So he writes near delo mairi bekimcha mamish. We're not talking about flour. Deim kein lo shaycha be bracha debor pri adama. It's not shaykh to make a bracha. Now, it could be, by the way, that Tosfos is going to be working together with Rashi on the previous Amud that talks about where if it's something which is so harmful and so it's not an eating event, you're not going to make any bracha whatsoever. But that goes back to last week. Elamayr bekimcha shekorin, and he gives a name for it, and please, if you speak Old French, so share with me what he's talking about. O bekemach sheosim mevushalo shu'al shemiyavshim betanor. Or grain that you toasted in the oven. So in other words, okay. So it's not exactly flour. Some sort of wheat kernel that was broken down, not to the point where it becomes inedible, where it's mamish flour, because then that's just ridiculous. But basically, it's somehow broken down into smaller parts and smaller particles. And Tosfos over it also entertains the idea that it was also toasted a little bit, just to make it somewhat more edible, okay, palatable, if you will. Okay. In the meantime, however, good. So it's something which is edible. In the meantime, however, the Gemara, I want to spend the evening going over this distinction that the Gemara made. The Gemara says that when you're going from the olive to olive oil, so leislei iluya achrina, it doesn't get any better. It's literally the best it could be. But when you're going now from the wheat kernel to I'll call it flour, even though I've already corrected myself. But for the purpose of shir, let's just call it flour. So when I go from the wheat kernel to flour, so at this point in time now we're in process, and you know it's going to get a lot better, because it's going to go from here, it's going to get to bread. And so at this point in time, it's in limbo. What exactly does the Gemara, meaning the Gemara is clearly making a distinction, that part we get. What is the distinction? What exactly is the difference between processing the olive to olive oil versus processing the wheat down to flour? And although the Gemara has articulated the difference, but what's really behind the difference over here? And I'm going to give two possibilities of how to understand the Gemara's distinction. And you'll see as we go through the shir tonight, hopefully we'll be able to see that both these possibilities are really tenable possibilities. Number one, what the Gemara means by this is as follows, and it could very well simply be a question of definition. Meaning that when I'm defining an olive, so the definition of olive is olive oil. Meaning, yeah, the olives are great, and I enjoy it, and I eat olives. The Gemara elsewhere talks about eating olives by themselves is not so good for it hurts your memory. Drinking olive oil is good for the memory, okay, but, you know, that aside from the from the memory aid, but in other words, there's olives and there's olive oils. But when we're talking about why is it that the olive oil maintains a bracha, it's really a definitional point. In other words, olive oil is still really olives. Or I could even just flip it around. Olive is really olive oil. Now, you'll see what I mean by that in just a moment. So one way to understand the Gemara's point is that it's just simply definitional. Masha'en came when we're talking about wheat and now bringing it down into flour. So wheat and flour are not definitionally one and the same thing. So in other words, what have I done now with the wheat? I've done what in halacha is known as a shinui. I've changed it. It's no longer the wheat kernel. The wheat kernel is bari pri adama. That part's clear. But now that I've broken it down, it's no longer wheat. It's now flour. It's like a new entity. And the Gemara says, yes, and we're going to take it and we're going to use it to make it something else with it. But really the question that boils down to a question of what is definitional. Meaning, what is olive versus what is wheat? Olive includes olive oil. And I'll say it even stronger in just a moment. And when we talk about wheat, so wheat is wheat, but flour is now a totally new entity. So it could be a definitional point. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that what the Gemara means by this in terms of making this distinction between olive oil and flour is that it could be not so much definitional, but rather intentional. Meaning that when I am when I'm harvesting my olives, I'm also thinking to myself, like, I can't wait to make olive oil. Meaning olives are good. But I'm also really planting it in order to make olive oil. So in other words, what my intention was, even when as I planted the olives, is that I was planning on using it to make olive oil. Masha Inkin, when it comes to wheat, so here are my plans. My plan is that I'll either eat the kernel itself or I'll make bread out of it. But in other words, but no one's planting the wheat in order in the thought of, hey, you know what? I can't wait to grind it down to flour and eat the flour. Like, in other words, it's not part of the intention of when wheat was planted. Okay. Now, hold on to those two thoughts for just a moment. And we'll see that both these may, in fact, play out. I'm going to introduce you to a Ramban and Chumash. Really interesting Ramban and Chumash. So, as Dr. Goldenberg read the Gemara today, so the Gemara is actually pretty clear that the mitzvah of Trumas HaMaisos. What is the mitzvah of Trumas HaMaisos? So, when you harvest your land in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to take a portion and give it over to the Kohanim. Shumah to the Kohanim, Maaser Rishon to the Levim, etc., etc. And the list goes on and on. What fruits are and grains are subject to Trumas HaMaisos? So as Dr. Goldenberg already pointed out, the Gemara seems pretty clear. Rashi says it very clearly. There only are three items that a person harvests that is subject to Trumas HaMaisos min HaTorah. And that is grains. I say grains, I mean the five grains. And grapes and olives. And that's it. Now, Shitas HaRambam is that all fruits are chayv and trumas are maisos min haTorah. Okay, and that young man behind me, Rabbi Doctor, so he gave a chabura a long time ago. How many years ago now is it? So he gave an excellent chabura. I remember it. About Shitas HaRambam and how to understand Shitas HaRambam that all fruits are chayv and trumas are maisos min haTorah. But as you saw our Gemara. So our Gemara says pretty clearly that the only things that are chayv and trumas HaMaisos are only these three items, and that's it. Now, why is that the simple pshat? Because that's what the Torah says. The Torah, when outlining what you're supposed to give in terms of trumas HaMaisos, the Torah says, Tiroshcha, Yitzarecha, and Degancha. I said out of order, but in other words, the Torah only identifies these three items that are chayv and trumas HaMaisos, and that's it. Okay, so that's the simple pshat in the Torah. That's a simple approach of the Rishonim. There's a really interesting Ramban al-Torah. going to go through some of it with you right now, and you'll see where we're heading in this direction. The Ramban al Torah writes as follows. He writes, "V'achar kach nihizker." This is now the Ramban. Sorry, this is the Ramban on Parshas Re, Perik Yudal, Pasuk Chav Beis. Sorry, the Ramban's on Pasuk Chav Gimel. "V'achar kach hizker aminim amuchayev v'lisasir meiser degan chavtiro shchavitzarecha." So the Torah over here goes over. It's many times in the Torah goes over exactly what requires Trumas HaMaisos, Hafrash is Trumas HaMaisos, and that is Degan, Tirosh, and Yitzar. V'chein Yaskir b'chol makom. L'suchel l'chol b'sharecha Maisos, Degan, Chav, Tirosh, Chav, Yitzarecha. V'chein Amar b'parshas Matnas Kahuna, or back in Korach. Kol chelav Yitzar v'chol chelav Tirosh, Degan, Reshisam, Ashirin Ula Hashem. Kol elu b'van, him chayav b'trumas HaMaisos min HaTorah. These three and only these three are chayav in Trumas HaMaisos min HaTorah. V'chein ma she'amar akasav v'chol masa haaretz mizera haaretz mipri ha'etz l'Hashem hu lo yitzav ha'shiaser kol zera haaretz v'chol pri etz. Even though you do get somewhat of an indication that it's anything that grows out of the ground, it's not true. Aval tamo kol asher tasem mizera haaretz shu daga mipri ha'etz shu hu tirosh v'yitzar yil l'Hashem. The Ramban says no. It's only talking about the grains, the five grains, and grapes and olives. U'chalashon hazeh kasav Rashi mizera haaretz dagan pri ha'etz tirosh v'yitzar. Rashi subscribes to this viewpoint. The katzar akos of sham, the Torah over there was just speaking in very concise terms. Ki einenu makom hamit tzav lechayv shiaser aval hu mitzvah shi'a meiser kodesh Hashem. Ashiyivte betosef es chomesh aval hamitzvah betshumas ha'meiser b'chol makom hein dagan tirosh v'yitzar. Okay, making a distinction between meiser sheni and meiser rishon, not for now. Anyway, here we get to the point of interest. And it really comes back to our discussion. The next paragraph of this Ramban. U'perish dagan b'lashon ha'kodesh. Now, as far as grain is concerned, what is the definition of dagan? So it's the five grains. Please don't ask me to say the five grains right now. Wheat, barley, oats, belts, rye. Okay. Then ask me to say it in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, anyway. Hayodin, the Gemara in Pesachim, by the way, actually categorizes it. In other words, wheat and barley are the two main lines of grain, and then the other three somehow fit into the other two. Anyway, but Chameshus Aminim. Hayodin mitzvah uperish tirosh. Good. So dagan is the five grains. That's very interesting. But here it gets much more interesting. What is the definition of tirosh? Here the Ramban's talking about definition. So the definition of tirosh, hayayin hachadash asher yashiko hayikavim. So as far as the definition of tirosh is concerned, it's wine. Now, if you would have said to me, what is the definition of tirosh? I would have said grapes and wine. In other words, you know, grape or grape product. The Ramban says, no. The definition of tirosh is actually wine. Yitzar, what's the definition of Yitzar? Hashem and Asher Bahem. Definition of Yitzar is oil. The aim in Achir b'chol Ezraim b'chol Peres Eilin Chayav min HaTorah Klal lo b'chumas v'lo b'matzros. V'yesh b'raisos, shnuos b'toros kohanim, uv'sifrei, lasmachtos v'hein mutaos. Now, the Ramban says, I know there are braisos out there, and there's also toros kohanim, medrash halacha, that say that your chayav in chumas v'matzros on all fruits, and they're misleading. And the Ramban over here is making reference to the Rambam. The Rambam was misled by these brisos that seem to indicate that all fruits are chayiv in chumas hamaisos, but it's not true. Aval davar misbayer b'gemara min atamad abavli. He says, but you opened up a gemara. Which gemara? Our gemara. Brachos lamed vav amad aleph. V'ha Yerushalmi. Right? I can tell you where it is, but that's all I can do. Upshuto shamikra kachu. Shafilu zesim v'avan v'anavim maiser shalem eno min haTorah. The Ramban goes one step further. He says, what about grapes and oil, grapes and olives? They are not chayiv in Trumas HaMaisos min HaTorah. Meaning the Torah is actually very clear. Tirosh and Yitzar, meaning wine and olive oil, not even grapes and olives. Ashiyasa, Tirosh v'Yitzar. So interesting that they're only going to be chayiv in Trumas HaMaisos only after I process them into wine and olive oil. But the grapes and the olives themselves are not chayiv min HaTorah in Trumas HaMaisos. Many have made a mistake, right? I would have made the same mistake. I would have said grapes and olives are chayiv min haTorah, but the Ramban, his opinion is not, no. Okay, it's such an interesting Ramban a la Torah. According to this Ramban, what comes out now is that when we're looking at what... Right, right. So no, the answer is no. In other words, I assume by grains, it means grains. Grains means grains. So... when the Ramban over here is speaking now, so obviously he's speaking in definition, meaning he's giving us the definitions. And so, using this Ramban, and by the way, B'Shem Omro, this idea I got it once again from Rabbi Reichman Sefer that is brought down B'Shem Arav, in terms of this idea. So this Ramban over here is giving us very specific definitions of what is considered a grape and what is considered an olive. Now, granted, he was speaking in terms of Trumas and Maestros, but still, the idea, the point that resonates is that when speaking about olive oil and when speaking about wine, they are olives and grapes from a definitional standpoint. Meaning when the Torah says that you have to be mafresh tirosh, the Torah means wine. When the Torah says that you have to be mafresh yisar, the Torah means olive oil. And so when now coming back to our Gemara and discussing the question of bracha, so basically it says, we'll say like this, that when we're talking about any fruit that was processed or any grain that was processed, so if it went through a processing period, so no, it's no longer the original. And so therefore, if it's no longer original, it no longer defines as the original. And so therefore, the bracha no longer is, if it's from the tree, bor pri eitz, or if it's from some sort of plant, bor pri adama. Good. Notable exceptions, of course, are, you guessed it, grapes and olives. Meaning by grapes and olives, so the product of the grape, now I'd say it's bor pri eitz, but of course it's not, but that's because wine is special. So therefore, it receives a special bracha. But in other words, but in principle, in concept, it basically maintains. Meaning the wine coming from a grape is still grape. In other words, in fact, the very definition of grape is wine. And so therefore, it maintains the bracha. Again, it gets a super bracha because it's a superfood, halachically. And so therefore, it gets a bor pri gafen. But in other words, but it maintains. And the same thing is true with olive oil. Meaning in terms of what exactly is olives, olive is olive oil. And so therefore, the bracha that it receives is going to be a bor pri eitz, because once again, it becomes now definitional. Now, granted, by the way, you go back to the Gemara. I know that's reading a lot into the Gemara. I know it is. Because the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, Leisei iluya achrina hacha islei iluya achrina bepas. So admittedly, it's reading a lot into the Gemara's distinction. But if you take a look at Rashi on the Gemara, Rashi does allude to this idea. You look at Rashi on the Gemara, Rashi writes, hacha islei iluya achrina hilkach, yatsa miklal pri. So when it comes to wheat and I break it down, so at that point in time, what is it? It's no longer a pri. Ulechal derech achila lo ba. Now it's no longer achila, aval hashemen miyad ba b'shinuyev lechal derech achila so. And look, I underline this part. V'ikar ha-pri lekach netau, hilkach pri hu. So Rashi says that when you have olive oil, you know what that is? That's pri. Because that's the definition. The definition of olive is olive oil. Now, I'm also going to admit, by the way, that using the Ramban in order to make this point is nice, but it doesn't work all the way, meaning the Ramban says that for Trumas and Maestros, so it's olive oil that's chayiv in Trumas and Maestros. The original olive is not chayiv in Trumas and Maestros. And so I'm admitting also that the Ramban, in terms of creating a definition, is good in the sense that, basically, I'm talking about the fruit of olive oil. Now, granted, from the Gemara standpoint, in terms of brachos, you're making the bor pri eitz both on the olive and on the olive oil. But in other words, using the Ramban, basically the idea of the Gemara is, it's really definitional. It's definitional. So in other words, so now going back to the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, so when Rav Yehuda says that kimche dechite, so you make a bor pri adama, so what is behind the shita of Rav Yehuda that says that it maintains the bracha? So in other words, he's simply not subscribing to this idea of definitions. Masha Inkin, according to Rav Nachman, who says that the bracha of grain that gets broken down is shahakal because he's working with definitions. And once I break it down into flour or whatever Tosfos is describing, it's no longer the original pri. I know in this case it's a pri hadama, but it's no longer the pri haaretz. And so therefore, the bracha is no longer a bari pri hadama. Okay. So that's one way to express it. The one way to express it is definitional. What's the other way to express it? The other way to express it is intention. Meaning, why did I plant this? What was the purpose of me planting this? So, the purpose of me planting olives is that I wanted olive oil. Now again, I know not everyone has the same intention when planting it, and not everybody's on the same page, but when establishing a halacha and establishing a bracha, so we're going to follow norms in terms of what people's intent are, and the intention of planting the olives is to create olive oil. This too, by the way, if I go back to the same Rashi that I quoted moments earlier, this too also comes out from Rashi. I'm going to look at the Rashi again. I'm going to read the Rashi again. Rashi writes, "Hacha isle ilu yachrina hilkach yatsa miklal pri v'lachal derech achila loba ava Hashem miyab babishino lachal derech achila." So when I take olive and I turn it into olive oil, and that is considered derech achila. So v'ikar hapri lekach natuhu, because when I planted the olive, I planted it in order to produce olive oil. So basically what I'm suggesting right now at this point in time is that there are really two ways to understand the Gemara's distinction between the olives and the grain. Olive converted into olive oil. The bracha maintains bor pri'etz. Why? Either because it's a definitional point. In other words, that the definition of olive includes olive oil. I use the Ramban to support that idea. Or it really could be a function of intention. Because when I planted the olive, I did so on with the mindset of making olive, of producing olive oil. So therefore, my intent on the fruit is really for the oil. And so therefore, the bracha maintains its bor pri'etz. Okay. Yes. Right.
It doesn't say okay. Zayis, right? I mean, it's almost a proof from the
pasuk
itself.
Okay, good. Agreed. Now, where is this going to play out? So take a look at the Rambam. Rambam writes over here as follows. Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Ches, Halacha Hey. So he talks about sugar cane. Okay, so I have not eaten sugar cane, but it's exciting to talk about the topic of sugar, something I know so little about. But anyway, but the sugar cane, so in terms of the bracha you would make if you start biting away into sugar cane. Hakanim hametukim. So the Rambam describes this interesting plant where what they used to do is they used to squeeze it, cook its juice, and something like some sort of crystals would come out looking like salt. Okay, we call that sugar. So the Rambam says, so good. So what bracha would you make if you were to eat that? So he quotes the Gaonim. Kol haGaonim amrim shemavarchen la bor pri adama. Umiksasam amru bor pri eitz. Okay, so the Gaonim are a little bit unclear in terms of whether or not it's a fruit of a tree or a fruit of a plant. Should be a bor pri eitz, should be a bor pri adama. But basically, what are the Gaonim saying? The Gaonim are saying it's a fruit. Bracha maintains. And so therefore, the correct bracha is, again, depending on whether it's eitz or adama, you either make a bor pri eitz or bor adama. V'chein amru shamotzit so some kanim evarch bor pri adama. And if you're going to just bite right into the plant and suck out the sweet nectar, so you make a bor pri adama. That's the Rambam quoting the Gaonim. The ani omer, but the Rambam says, but if you ask me, she'ein ze pri, the ein mevarchin alav shaha ela shahakol. So the Rambam says, no, that's not pri. And so the bracha should not be bor pri eitz, should not be bor pri adama. The bracha should rather be shahakol. Shelo yeh dvash elu hakanim shenishtana al yedea or gadol. So the Rambam's argument goes like this. Well, look, if I take a date and I extract the juice out of the date, right? Back in the day, that was called honey. Okay. Nowadays, bees honey just, you know, it's taken on the popularity. But back in the day, honey was basically they would squeeze the date out and they would extract the juice from the date, and that is dvash. And the Rambam says, now, on the dvash, what are you going to make? So anytime we extract liquid from a fruit, what do we make? So the Gemara describes it as zeya ba'ama, right? It's just a liquid extraction. And so therefore, you're going to make a shahakol. So if the liquid extracted from the date is going to be a shahakol, and there, it doesn't even go through any processing. There, it's just a natural extraction. I just squeeze. Over here, in order to go from the sugar cane to the sugar, so not only does it just, am I squeezing, I'm squeezing, I'm cooking, I'm going through a whole process, so you don't think the bracha is going to be shahakol? So the Rambam disagrees with the Gaonim. Okay. So if you take a look at the Torah over here, so the Torah now comments on this machlokus between the Gaonim and the Rambam, and the Torah writes as follows. Ve'efshar, I underlined it, in the second column. I underlined it. Ve'efshar lahashiv al dvarav. Now he quotes the machlokus between the Gaonim and the Rambam, and he says, look, I want to defend the Gaonim for a moment. So she'enu damo dvash tamarim. So the Torah says, I don't think it's comparable. Why sha'at tamarim hein pri? Vinatu lahem adaita la'ochlam. Because when I'm planting the dates, why am I planting the dates? Because I want to eat the date. The intent of the planting of the date is for the date. Hilkach kishinishtanu nishtanus berchasam. And so therefore, when I'm extracting the juice from them, so that's shinui. And so that kind of change now means it's no longer a date. It's just simply the juice extracted from the date. It's like any time I extract juice out of a fruit, the bracha is going to be shakol. Chutz mei yain v'shemen, with the notable exceptions of yain and shemen. Aval elu hakanim she'enam ru'uyim la'achila. But the sugar cane. In other words, what is the edible part of the sugar cane? The only edible portion of the sugar cane is going to be that sweet nectar inside. V'ikr nitiyasan al da'as hadvash. And the only reason why you're planting the sugar cane is in order to extract that, I'll call it a fruit, but you understand. In other words, it's only to extract that fruit from inside. Vanda is a pure yon. Well, that's its fruit. And so therefore the bracha should be a bor priates. Now, what just happened between the Gaonim, the Rambam, and you see the Torah's defense of the Gaonim. So lechora now, this machlokas that I presented, and these two sides, in which how to understand the Gemara's distinction between Shemen and Chita and Kemach really plays out over here. Meaning, what are the two ways we presented it? One is that the distinction is that it's all definitional. Meaning, I'm just looking at what the definition is. What's the definition of Shemen? The definition of Shemen includes both the olive and the olive oil. Good. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that's really intent. Meaning, when I planted the olive, I did so with the intent of getting to the point of olive oil. So those are the two possibilities. So over here, when the Rambam is now discussing and debating in terms of what should be the bracha of the yield of the sugar cane, so the Rambam says to himself as follows. Well, let's start with the Gaonim. The Gaonim are saying, and again, with the Torah's defense, it works out beautifully. Why did I plant the sugar cane? Meaning, what was my intent in planting the sugar cane? The entire intent of planting the sugar cane is to get the yield, to get the produce of whatever that nectar is that comes out from inside. So in other words, it's actually just like Shemen. When I plant the Shemen, I'm doing so al das, right? That's the Torah's language, right? I'm doing so with the intent. I'm doing so with the mindset of extracting the olive oil. So same thing over here. When I'm planting the sugar cane, I'm doing so with the intent of extracting the olive oil. Intent of extracting the sugar. And so therefore, it's the bracha is a bar preitz. Bar preitz, bar preadama, whatever it is. But in other words, it maintains. That is the Gaonim. What's the Rambam on the other side? The Rambam over here is looking at strict definitions. So in fact, if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, it actually reads very well into the Rambam. Ve'ani omer, I'm just rereading the Rambam. Ve'ani omer she'ein ze pri. The Rambam says that as far as that nectar inside, that's not pri. Meaning pri has a very specific and limited definition. Pri is the actual plant itself. That is the pri. Anytime I make an extraction from that, that's no longer a pri. And if it's no longer a pri, so then the bracha is no longer bor priates, but rather shahakol. Okay, so let's just quickly recap. So the Gemara basically introduced us to this idea that if I take wheat and I break it down and I eat it, so a machlokas amongst the Amorim exactly what the bracha is. Rav Nachman's point is that the bracha is no longer a bor priadama, but rather it's a shahakol. Even though olives, you changed it from olive to olive oil, the bracha is still a bor priates. So why is there a difference? There is a difference. Why is there a difference? So again, I quoted the line of the Gemara. Lace when it comes to Shemen, lace leilui achrina. But when it comes to the wheat, so kevan. Isle ilui achrina bepas. Okay. And basically, what I presented in this distinction in the Gemara is two possibilities of how to understand this distinction. One, it's definitional. In other words, it's just a question of what defines as olives, what defines as wheat. Included in the definition of olive is olive oil. The Ramban I used over here to really pronounce this point, that olive oil is really, in fact, the Ramban, again, as I pointed out earlier, Ramban is even going further than what I'm saying, because he says that the entire definition of olive is olive oil. But in terms of brachos, however, included in the bracha for bor priates is the olive and the olive oil. It's definitional. Mashenkin, when it comes to wheat, when I break it down, it's no longer the kernel, the original kernel. That's one way to understand it. The other way to understand it is really a function of intent. And why did I plant it? When I planted the olives, I planted it for the olive oil. But when I planted the wheat, I planted it either for the kernel or maybe at a later point in time when I converted it to bread. But I didn't have intent of breaking it down and eating it as some form of flour. So that could be one of two possible ways to understand it. This machlokas, as I pointed out, could very well be the machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim regarding taking the sugar out of the sugar cane. The Gaonim says the bracha is bor priates. The Rambam says, of course, it's not. It's a bracha shahakol. And when you see the machlokas and you see the way the Torah defends the Gaonim, it really is predicated on this machlokas, meaning that according to the Gaonim, it's really based on intent. My intent to plant the sugar cane is to extract the sugar from it. So therefore, the sugar is the fruit yield that's coming out of it. Therefore, it's bor priates. Mashenkin, according to the Rambam, it's totally definitional. The pri is the sugar cane. Anything that I extract from that, it would be no different than extracting any juice from any fruit. And so the bracha is going to be shahakol.
The synholic is par, by the way. Those things.